This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm trying to use my best podcast voice. I feel like you don't need to do that, Nate, because you have a very good, like, smooth voice.
A big warm welcome to today's podcast on the Listener app.
Just when I thought it couldn't get better.
Engage and interest you.
You should read like some sort of like biography for someone political. Like I'm thinking maybe a Bob Hawke biography or something with that voice.
Yeah, I wonder if the content alone is enough to make people drone away into sleepy land, but I'm happy to help.
But look, speaking of content, in this very podcast, we learned some interesting stuff about you because we used a real life fact. I think that's a fast facts first. Wow, I can't believe I got that out without swearing. And I can swear on the podcast. But yeah, because you actually used a fact about yourself, which absolutely blew our mind. Me and producer Bailey said there is no way that we know this to be true, which was really bad because I knew I was sitting on the fake fact. So I was like,
right.
Did he read a bit of paper wrong? But anyway, we'll find out what that is in the podcast. Keep listening for that. But today's Alpha Bucks, wow. Kelly nailed it. She got so close. I know for a fact that she listened to the podcast because she did not skip a beat when it came to that Katy Perry question.
No, totally.
And she was prepared. So let's give you the letter for tomorrow, which is L for Lima. And cool. Hopefully Kelly's listening again. She has another crack because she got down to the wire.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So I think this is the hardest one. Starting with L, name a musical instrument. Now, you have a musical background, as we learnt in Fake Fast Facts.
This is testing me.
This is hard, this one.
A musical instrument beginning with L. Oh, I studied music at uni.
Wow.
This is not good. Of course, I failed twice in a row at music questions. Katy Perry yesterday, today instruments. I'm ready to just check out.
I think you're ready to return your hex fees, to be honest. I'd want a return on that investment.
Yeah, can I return it regardless? I don't want that hanging over me. An instrument beginning with L. Hang on.
To be fair, this is very, very hard.
Pride is on the line here.
Okay. Oh. So you're gonna keep going with it? You wanna? Well,
it's been a while. I would have lost Alpha Bucks three times over by now, I think. 30 seconds apiece.
I'll tell you, I've got three in front of me. I'd never heard of any of these.
Oh, ridiculous. All right.
You know what? This is where the bonus points lie if you know what these instruments are. A lithophone?
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Kind of, but rubbish. What a question. Rubbish. I'm going to say off the bat.
A liar? L-Y-R-E?
Rubbish.
Is that it? Lie?
I clearly asking the wrong guy.
Or a lute. You know the lute.
Yeah, a
lute.
Do
you rock out on the lute?
I don't, but I'm a Simpsons fan, and what's his name? The smart kid has a lute.
Oh, not Nelson.
With the big cheeks. No. He's got the white shirt.
Depend
he's
like on what smarts you want. Street smarts, Nelson.
Book smarts. Yeah. He's,
Milhouse.
No. What's his name? Martin Prince. He plays a lute.
Oh, I choose you.
No, that's rough.
Oh, God. I tried.
I love it.
Hit breakfast with Alan and Carly. I've actually got Nate filling in for Alan at the moment. And, Nate, if you're after any dating advice, we've got the girl who can do exactly that on the line. Jana Hocking, the dating columnist for news.com.au. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Now, let's get straight into it. Dating at Christmas. I feel like there's so much to unpack. First and foremost, do you go for the summer fling? Do you have to meet the parents? And what are you buying them?
Okay, I think the most important thing to do is not rush. We all freak out at Christmas time and go, oh my God, I need someone to bring home to the family so they don't think I've, been running amok this whole year. And I just think we need to slow down. The amount of boys I've brought to Christmas that have not worked out and it's been a total waste of time. Like, learn from me.
That's great.
Not a good idea. But I think there's so many pros to dating at Christmas time. Like, we're at our happiest because the sun is out. We're getting vitamin D. We're on holidays. We've got time to actually date, which is nice.
That's great. What about perhaps a sticky one here? If you've just started dating someone and Christmas rolls around, is there an etiquette when it comes to gifts?
Yeah, I think. Oh my God, I just got a frog in my throat. It's giving me anxiety. I think the answer is I would put a $50 limit on it. Like if they're a new person on this scene, you don't want to freak them out with some big extravagant gift. Maybe have a conversation about, all right, let's set a price limit. So you're both kind of on the same page, but don't freak them out with, you know, tickets to their favorite concert. Just something cute. Just something cute with a little card is perfect.
What about if you're going overseas or you're going on a trip and you want to pursue a holiday romance? What is the correct way to do that without being disrespectful to anyone?
Well, I think as long as you're upfront with where you're from, because there's nothing worse than matching with someone on one of the dating apps and then on your second date they're like, oh, by the way, I live like 1,000 kilometers away. So I think it'd be upfront that you're not from town and perhaps you're just looking for a bit of fun, but definitely date on holidays. Flings just add that extra za to your holiday.
And also you've got a plane to catch if it's not working out, so it's a perfect excuse.
You've got to get out claws, which is what we should all have.
I love that.
If people are feeling perhaps a little bit sort of vulnerable and down during Christmas, is there a way to look after themselves and, you know, give them that little shot in the arm to get out and mingle and to socialize and to push back into dating?
Yeah, I think this is the best time of year to actually meet someone organically because, you know, we've all had a year of the dating apps. We've got a bit of the dating app fatigue, but there's never been so many parties. So make sure you go to your Christmas party or your neighborhood party or your street party, because a lot of people are, you know, beginning to meet organically again.
Yeah.
And it's like real life Tinder. So put yourself out there. But also there's an comfort yourself, because actually science says that December 11 is the most popular day of the year to break up. Everyone's breaking up. So you're actually remind yourself that you're not the only single person at Christmas. It's actually there's a lot of people who are breaking up on, for some reason, the 11th of December.
I love that. And then just like a seagull, you can be ready, waiting in the wings to swoop in on that hot chip. I love it.
Exactly. Be the rebound.
Jana, such great advice heading into Christmas. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
I'm glad that I'm talking to you about this, Nate, because I feel like this would definitely tempt Alan, because I feel like we're all trying to live a healthier lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not me so much.
trying, the operative
trying,
word.
Trying. But I feel like dieting 101 is carbs equal bad, right? I feel like even if you're not in the dieting world, we've all heard this. It's like
it seems to be the misconception when I speak to nutritionists and PTs. People don't understand the layers of carbs, yeah.
Yeah, and like the first thing I do if I'm trying, even just trying to dip a toe in the health world, is pizza, pasta, bread has got to go. That lasts all of 5 minutes. But it turns out you don't have to throw out your potatoes, because I feel like they're the ones that always get a bad rap when it comes to dieting. Apparently they're the most carb heavy and they're starchy. Apparently they're not so good for you. But researchers have revisited this and gone, wait a second, I feel like there's a bit of a misconception when it comes to potatoes. Apparently they're not as bad as we originally thought. Apparently they actually reckon that if you are trying to diet, they're not a bad option because they fill you up faster. But here's the kicker. So I was excited when I heard this. I'm like, absolutely, carb load me up for the summer.
Yeah.
But apparently it's the way you cook them. So if you're deep frying them,
well, naturally, yeah.
I love a hot chip.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to look for the loophole. So apparently if you're baking them, you know, obviously that's good. A little bit of seasoning, salt bad apparently. I feel like these are all basic things. But for me, like I said, I'm always looking for the loophole. So all I'm reading is potatoes are in. Kale is out. Are you with me, Nate?
So yesterday I went to the barber. Got me hair did, fresh fade, good stuff.
Oh, looking fresh.
You try. You do your best. Now, this place also offers men's face waxing, and it's very useful for me, an Italian with coarse hair, you know.
Got a full beard right now. I shaved before the show this morning, now, so it's very coarse.
Can I take it back one step?
Sure.
Excuse my ignorance. I know men shave, but I didn't know they wax their faces. That sounds painful.
Well, I guess it's part of the whole, you know, deportment and grooming services, but I'm seeing this service offered more in barbershops. Now, I don't want to generalise, but I know there's still a bit of a feminine connotation among blokes, but yeah, when it comes to face waxing. And a lot of guys aren't too quick to book this kind of thing, especially in this shop, because there's only female barbers. So I get it. It can be a bit embarrassing, whatever. I don't mind. I'm very practical. Doesn't bug me. I need it done. As I said, I'm Italian. It's coarse. You know, I need to breathe a little easier because part of the service is like nostrils. You can get your nostrils cleared, whatever.
Oh, my God.
It's not fun, but it's necessary. But I think that hesitancy from guys was really evident because I must have been a customer few and far between others to book any face waxing. So when I was getting worked on, my barber invited three other of the other girls in the store just to come over for some impromptu training and, you know, let me be the case study. Little masterclass with Nate's nostrils, it felt like.
I love so, that, Nate's nostrils. It's offered as a masterclass.
We love alliteration here in radio. So fingers up in my grill, stretching my face, glaring at me like it.
Fingers, I'd want to hope.
Well, one would hope. It's not what happened,
I mean,
though.
They are interns.
Yeah, well, they're just staff, but it never happens waxing that they use this chance to study me as I was getting it done. So
the thing
it was... Yeah,
if you don't pull it hard enough, is this correct? It's a whole world of pain and you've got to go in again. It's like a plane coming in for landing. If you don't quite land it, you're going up, around and back again. So I would hate to be the guinea pig for that. Was it a clear landing?
Listen, I was just as much part of this masterclass as these girls, but I have never been so unhappy to have four girls interested in me at the same time.
The word of the year has been announced, guys. I know it is so hotly anticipated between all of us. We were all speculating about what it could be. We set our alarms for when it dropped. I've actually got it in front of us here. Smoke and mirrors for radio, guys. So last year's word of the year, because typically what they do is they'll base it on a word that kind of sums up the year that was. Last year's for 2021 was vax, which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So thinking of the year that was, what do you guys think the word of the year could be for 2022? Now, I'm going to try and give you a little bit of a clue. This is something that is uniquely Australian, so we're not talking worldwide here.
Okay.
So if you think about kind of what we went through this year in terms of an Australian public, I think this is really hard to get. Okay. I would never have picked this.
I mean, I'm just going from my own personal reference. I've used this word many times this year.
Okay.
Bougie.
Can't swear on air, Bailey.
I'm not a swearer. Bougie.
Oh, bougie. I love a good bougie.
Use it many a time.
Off the word bourgeoisie,
bourgeoisie.
No, actually, I don't know. I'm trying to sound fancy. I'm trying to sound bougie. It's not working.
And don't ask me how to spell it. Not sure. Still not learned all year.
What about you, Nate? What do you think it is?
Well, I'm intrigued by the connection to Australian event or possibly current affairs that's happened this year. I know the Queen Elizabeth II, her passing's been a big thing. So I might run with, well, I'm banking on either that or still something COVID-related. I'm going to say either Queen or mask, because discussion about masks disappearing has been a big thing this year.
That's actually not a bad guess. The word of the year was actually teal.
Oh,
what?
Like the colour. So, this is off the back of the teal independence.
Is the teal independence?
Oh, come on, people.
I have not used the word teal in a decade, much less the last 12 months.
So, it is a political word. Teal is an independent political candidate who holds generally ideologically moderate views and who supports strong action regarding the environment and climate action policies, because we did see in the elections the teal independence kind of rip through Parliament and get a lot of seats. So, look, I can forgive you guys for not picking that one. It was not on my bingo card. But let's go to something a little more fun, and that was the People's Choice
for Word
of the Year. Now, this I can get around, and I love it. I'm not going to ask you to put forward your suggestions because I feel like this one, I don't know. It's a hard one. I don't know if you get it. But do you guys know what a bachelor's handbag is?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Yes.
Nate knows.
Okay. Do you want me to elaborate or do I leave it to you?
Please do.
So I understand that a bachelor's handbag is like the Woolies or Coles roast chicken because that is like a very easy dinner for bachelors. They pick that up and it's like the staple, the go-to, and they're constantly seen carrying a bag of chicken.
Absolutely. What? I feel like that should have been Word of the Year, to be honest. I love it. And I love how Australians just keep taking everyday things like a cooked chook and turning it into something fancy like a handbag.
Eight fast facts.
And if you missed it just before, we've got Nate, who is currently filling in for Alan, and producer Bailey in the studio. And we've all just dropped a fact on you guys. And 131060 is the number to call right now if you want to call out one of us as a liar. But I like the idea of us getting to the bottom of it right now. So, producer Bailey, do you want to tell us your fact or so-called fact, should I say?
Well, my very true fact is that in Love Actually, when Emma Thompson realises that her husband has cheated on her, they actually shot that scene 12 times. So she had to cry and all that emotion 12 times over.
Okay, well, I'm going to actually add something to that fact. Not saying that it's true.
Okay.
But I do know, I only read this recently, which is absolutely heartbreaking, that Emma Thompson actually drew on a real life experience for that because her first husband cheated on her with another actress.
Well,
yes.
There you go.
So
makes
heartbreaking,
sense, doesn't it?
But then I feel like you'd only need one take because she's got it. She's good to go.
That's a good point.
My fact is the most remote McDonald's is in Antarctica. I recently watched a documentary on Antarctica too. It's a great one on Foxtel at the moment. Could be a little clue there, guys, that maybe I learnt that fact in the doco.
But I feel like I want to challenge that because I do think you're the liar because I don't think there are McDonald's everywhere in the world.
This is true. A little drive to Meriden once made me realise the closest Macca's was not exactly a stone's throw away. So, yeah.
Well, I feel like you, Bailey, and I are both in agreement on who the liar is today because, Nate, do you want to drop your fact? Which is, by the way, a very unfair fact because we're still getting to know you.
Yeah, look, this is absolutely true. By no means a lie in any stretch of the imagination. Actress Julie Andrews from The Sound of Music, Mary Poppins, was my boss for 2 weeks and gave me jobs to do.
Now, I don't know how I feel about this, to be honest with you.
It sounds... No.
Actually, we've got a caller because I feel like we're all kind of in a stalemate at the moment. Hi, who have we got here?
Thomas.
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 Now, who do you believe is lying?
Well, I believe the most remote McDonald's isn't actually in Antarctica.
Oh,
okay.
Where do you think it is, Thomas?
Look at the guilt on Carly's face.
I would believe it would be somewhere in the desert, probably somewhere in America.
You really believe that Nate worked with Julie Andrews from The Sound of Music?
Yeah, I can believe that.
Okay, well, you know what? I have been called out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so apparently there is a McDonald's on every single continent but Antarctica. Logistically, they just couldn't do it, especially with those long winters.
Of course.
But let's circle back to yours, Nate. You work with Julie Andrews.
So, and you mentioned this off air before, we were just talking and chatting and I mentioned that I dodged an accounting career and went into music. At the end of that degree, there was a chance to have a music placement, like work experience thing. And I joined a company called Opera Australia and they were putting on the 50th anniversary of a show called My Fair Lady. Now, Julie Andrews was the original lead, Eliza Doolittle for any musical theatre fans like Alan listening at home. And she was directing the show and they said, listen, look, we can't pay you, but for experience, if you want, you can come to Sydney and help us cast the show. And she was there at, you know, 80 years old, the most passionate and excitable and inspiring person, and it was just my job to get her coffees and sandwiches and to look after her, and she was great. She was unreal. She was like everyone's favourite auntie, yeah.
But more importantly, what does she have on a Sanger?
She likes, like, we had pizzas one night and she got into the Supreme. She likes a lot on pizzas.
She definitely is an everything kind of gal.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast.